Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mamre by Avram Goldar and Tirmid Sechus Chulin Daf Tezayin. The first parak Kol Shoychetin. The Zichu Masechus Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan Torah to Lomdei Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a brisa states that if one shechs b'muchni with a wheel by attaching a knife to a wheel which cut the animal's neck as the wheel turned, his shechita is valid. This contradicts another brisa which invalidates such a shechita, and Rapapa answers that the first brisa's case is sarna d'pachra, a potter's wheel which is turned by hand and the shechita is performed by human force, whereas the second brisa's case is sarna d'maya, a water wheel without human force and is invalid. Alternatively, both brisas discuss a water wheel, but the shechita is valid when the wheel is turned at b'koach rishon, with the person's primary force, the first burst of water which he released onto the wheel by lifting the barrier, which is considered his force. However, when the wheel was turned b'koach sheni, with the secondary force, the subsequent water flow, it is not considered human force and is invalid. Rapapa draws a similar distinction regarding one who bound someone near a body of water and released the water onto the victim, killing him. He's chayev if the victim died with koach rishon, because giri didei hu dahanibe, because it was his arrows that impacted him, but he's pater for koach sheni, which is considered grama ba'alma, an indirect cause. Point number two, Rava says, Tosh basof chibru, something detached which he later attached to the ground is considered detached regarding avos kochavim. If one worships a mountain, it doesn't become asubahana like an idol. Still, one who bows to his house does make it asubahana, proving that the house is considered detached regarding idolatry. Rava says, L'inyan hekshur zroim, regarding produce's susceptibility to tumah, it's malchok's tanaim if tosh basof chibru is considered mechuber. Food is only susceptible to tumah if it was contacted by liquid, for example, water, whose initial falling onto something detached pleased the produce's owner, even if the water's subsequent contact with this produce did not please him. A Mishnah states that if one overturned a plate onto a wall, so the plate should be rinsed by the rain, which then dripped onto produce, the produce is mekabel tumah since the plate is detached. If the plate was placed there to protect the wall from the rain, the produce is not mekabel tumah since he's not pleased with the rainfall. These two cases have contradictory implications regarding intent to rinse the wall, and Rabbi Elazar explains that the two cases reflect a machlokes tanaim if a wall is considered attached. Rapapa answers the Mishnah differently. And point number three, the Gemara discusses shechting with something talush b'sof chibro. Although a brisa teaches that not sakim b'kosel, if he stuck a knife into a wall and shechted with it, the shechita is valid. Shani sakim de lo mevatale. A knife is different because he doesn't nullify it there, meaning he does not intend for it to remain there permanently. So it's definitely not considered attached to the ground. Shmuel said that such a shechita is only valid shosakin lemalavet sarva behemo lemata, where the knife was above and the animal's neck was below it, and he moved the animal's neck back and forth against the knife. But if the knife was below and the animal's neck above it, it's invalid because chayshin and shema yidros were concerned he might press the neck against the knife because of the animal's weight, invalidating the shechita. Rapapa says that the shechita of a bird, the kalil, which is light, is valid even where its neck was above the fixed knife, since its weight will not cause it to be pressed against the knife. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a brisa states that if one shechs b'muchni with a wheel by attaching a knife to a wheel, which cut the animal's neck as the wheel turned, his shechita is valid. This contradicts another brisa which invalidates such a shechita, and Rapapa answers that the first brisa's case is sarna d'pachra, a potter's wheel, which is turned by hand, and the shechita is performed by human force, whereas the second brisa's case is sarna d'maya, a water wheel without human force, and is invalid. Alternatively, both brisas discuss a water wheel, but the shechita is valid when the wheel is turned at b'koach rishon, with the person's primary force, the first burst of water which he released onto the wheel by lifting the barrier, which is considered his force. However, when the wheel was turned b'koach sheni, with the secondary force, the subsequent water flow, it is not considered human force and is invalid. Rapapa draws a similar distinction regarding one who bound someone near a body of water and released the water onto the victim, killing him. He's chayev if the victim died with koach rishon, because giri didei hu dahanibe, because it was his arrows that impacted him, but he's pater for koach sheni, which is considered grama ba'alma, an indirect cause. Point number two, Rava says, Tosh basof chibru, something detached which he later attached to the ground is considered detached regarding avos kochavim. If one worships a mountain, it doesn't become asubahana like an idol. Still, one who bows to his house does make it asubahana, proving that the house is considered detached regarding idolatry. Rava says, L'inyan hekshur zroim, regarding produce's susceptibility to tumah, it's malchok's tanaim if tosh basof chibru is considered mechuber. food is only susceptible to tuma if it was contacted by liquid. For example, water, whose initial falling onto something detached pleased the produce's owner, even if the water's subsequent contact with this produce did not please him. A Mishnah states that if one overturned a plate onto a wall, so the plate should be rinsed by the rain, which then dripped onto produce, the produce is mekabel tuma since the plate is detached. If the plate was placed there to protect the wall from the rain, the produce is not mekabel tuma since he's not pleased with the rainfall. These two cases have contradictory implications regarding intent to rinse the wall, and Rabbi Elazar explains that the two cases reflect a machlokes hanaim if a wall is considered attached. Rabbi Papa answers the Mishnah differently. And point number three, the Gemara discusses shechnim with something talushu b'sof chibro. Although a braisa teaches that not sakim b'kosel, if he stuck a knife into a wall and shechted it with it, the shechita is valid, shani sakim de lo mevatale. A knife is different because he doesn't nullify it there, meaning he does not intend for it to remain there permanently, so it's definitely not considered attached to the ground. Shmuel said that such a shechita is only valid shosakin lemal of itzavar behema lemata, where the knife was above and the animal's neck was below it, and he moved the animal's neck back and forth against the knife. But if the knife was below and the animal's neck above it, it's invalid because chayshin and shema yidros were concerned he might press the neck against the knife because of the animal's weight, invalidating the shechita. Rabbi says that the shechita of a bird, the kalil, which is light, is valid even where its neck was above the fixed knife, since its weight will not cause it to be pressed against the knife. All right, so now we got our siman daf tazayin. Our standard siman is toes, but we use an acrobat with large toes to make the siman more distinct. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain, with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, was about to land near a knife stuck in the wall that was used. The shecht. Once again, in slow motion. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must be on Daf Tezayin. The acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, which reminds us the Gemara discusses shechting using the force of water in a water wheel, and we distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni. So the acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain, with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, which reminds us, Rava says, le'inyan hekshir zraim, regarding produce's susceptibility to tuma, it's a machlokes hanaim if tosh ubasof chibro, something that was detached, that was later attached, is considered mechuber. A Mishnah states that if one overturned a plate onto a wall, so the plate should be rinsed by the rain, which then dripped onto produce, the produce is mekabel tuma since the plate is detached. If the plate was placed there to protect the wall from the rain, the produce is not mekabel tuma since he's not pleased with the rainfall. These two cases have contradictory implications regarding intent to rinse the wall, and Rabbi Elazar explains that the two cases reflect a machlokes hanaim if a wall is considered attached. So the acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain, with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, was about to land near a knife stuck in the wall that was used to shecht, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses shechting with something talushu b'sof chibro. Although a braisa teaches that not sakim b'kosel, if one stuck a knife into a wall and shecht it with it, the shechita is valid, shani sakim de lo mevatale. A knife is different because one doesn't nullify it there, meaning he doesn't intend for it to remain there permanently, so it's definitely not considered attached to the ground. Shmuel said that such a shechita is only valid shasakin lamal of itzavar behema lamata, where the knife was above and the animal's neck was below it. So once again, the acrobat with large toes who jumped on a water wheel with a knife attached, using the koach rishon to shecht a cow, and then somersaulted over a wall where a plate was placed to get rinsed from the rain, with droplets bouncing off onto produce below, was about to land near a knife stuck in the wall that was used to shecht. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When six of 12 brothers, 12 brothers, that must be one daf Yud Beis. When six of 12 brothers, who were so excited when they found a shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home since Rob Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita Mumchin Hen, which reminds us, it was taught in Bryce Hari Shematze Tarnagos Shechuta Bashuk. If one found the shechted hen in the marketplace, or he told his shuyach to shecht his hen, and later found it shechted, Cheskasu Shachut, it's presumed to be shechted properly. This proves that Rov Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita Mumchin Hen. Most people who are involved in Shechita are experts, so we assume that whoever shechted it was an expert. So, when six of 12 brothers were so excited when they found the shechted hen in the marketplace, and knew they could take it home since Rov Mitzuin Eso Shechita Mumchin Hen, while five others were so distracted when they watched a man throwing a knife against the wall that happened to shech the cow. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, who's the Tanu who holds the Lo Be'inin Kavanu Shechita, that we do not require the slaughterer to have intent for Shechita? Rava says, it's Rabbi Nassan, as Raisa teaches, Zark Sakin Leno Etzabakosa, if one threw a knife to plunge it into the wall, and it went and shechted the correct way as it flew towards the wall, Rabbi Nassan says the shechita is valid, but the Chachamim say it's invalid. The halacha follows Rabbi Nassan. So when six of 12 brothers, who were so excited when they found the shechted hen in the marketplace and knew they could take it home since Rov Mitzuin Eitzel Shechita Mumchin Hen, while five others were so distracted when they watched a man throwing a knife against the wall that happened to shech the cow, the youngest brother was left behind in a sandbox with a pomegranate he hauled out to measure sand, making it a kli tibi makabel tuma, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan asks, katin yeshul machshava or einul machshava? Does a minor have halachically significant thought, or does he not have thought? A Mishnah teaches that an acorn, pomegranate, or walnut, which children hauled out to measure sand in them, or fashioned to be a pan and a scale, are susceptible to tuma as utensils, mifnei sheisha and ma'isa, because children have the capability for halachically significant act, the einahen machshava, but they do not have the capability for halachically significant thought, meaning if they declare they would use the shell as a kli without fashioning it, it's not susceptible to tuma. Rabbi Yochanan's inquiry is explained on the next daf. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. While the bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. While the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tuma, which reminds us, a katan who brought up produce onto the roof does not subject it to tuma, even if he intended it to be wet, because a katan's intent is ineffective. Rabbi Yochanan added that if he turned the produce over once it was wet, it is susceptible to tumah since his intent is apparent from his action. So while the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went onto the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tumah, and found a goy shechting there who shechita is mutar b'nav, because in Chutz La'aretz, goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, which reminds us, Gemara discusses if shechita v'nakum is mutar b'nav and not assumed to be for idolatry. Rabbi Baravua answers, Ein rov ovdei kochavim minim. Most Gentiles are not minim. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Gentiles outside Eretz Yisrael are not sincere idol worshippers, el minhag avosein biyadein. Rather, it's merely the practice of their ancestors in their hands. So the bar mitzvah boy was giving his pshetel, his younger brother snuck out and went to the roof to turn over the produce that had dew on it, making it susceptible to tuma, and found a goy shechting there whose shechita is mutar b'nav, because in Chutz La'aretz, goyim aren't assumed to be idol worshippers, next to a yid shechting at night and in the dark, which is kosher b'di'evad, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hashoicha b'layla, if one shechs at night, they can assume a sheshachat, and similarly, if a blind person shechs, the shechita is valid. The Mishnah's language implies that shechita at night is only valid b'di'evad after the fact, but not permitted l'chadchila, since he can't see if he's cut both simanim. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah's case is when it was dark, as opposed to when a torch was lit near him, in which case it is mutar l'chadchila. Daf Yudal. So the simon Daf Yudal is Yad, and we use a juggler for the simon. So here goes. The juggler, that must move on Daf Yudal. The juggler performing at a Sheva Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hashoik b'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim, if one shechs an animal on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, Afu Pishmas Chai ben Nafsho, even though it becomes liable with his life, whether it's Mises Basin or Karas, Shechitas Kasher, his shechita is still valid and the meat may be eaten. Rapuna quoted in Rav's name that although the shechita is valid, asur b'chil yoma, it's forbidden consumption for that day, meaning it's prohibited until after Shabbos. And the colleagues in the yeshiva thought to say, in explanation of Rav's statement, that the Mishnah's Rabbi Yehuda, who would forbid eating the meat on Shabbos itself. The Gemara embarks on a lengthy search to identify the relevant ruling of Rabbi Yehuda and why the meat is forbidden on Shabbos. So the juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, who was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevela, yet prohibited to cut up for the dogs, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba suggests that it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about halchana, preparation, items lacking preparation for Shabbos. A Mishnah teaches that one may cut up a nevela on Shabbos for dogs to eat, but Rabbi Yehuda says if it was not already a nevela before Shabbos, it's prohibited, because because it was not something prepared for Shabbos use and is muksa. Here too, an animal which was shechted on Shabbos was not prepared the day before for Shabbos use and is muksa. Abaye rejects the comparison. So the juggler performing at a Shabbos Sheva Brach was so distraught when the caterer announced that a guest shechted a cow and the meat couldn't be served until the Malava Malka, that he dropped his knives on a sheep, making it nevel, yet prohibited a cut-up for the dogs, then broke some teacups he was juggling, which couldn't be moved since they couldn't be used, made Malachtam, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef suggests, it refers to Rabbi Yehuda's ruling about Kalim. A Mishnah teaches that any Kalim which are not Muksa, which broke for Shabbos, Shivrei Nitalin, the fragments may also be moved, provided they're fit to perform Me'in Malacha, some sort of task, even if it's different from the original kli's function, for example, using pieces of a mixing bowl to cover a barrel. However, Rabbi Yehuda says the fragments may only be moved if they can perform functions in molachtan, similar to their original task, meaning using pieces of a mixing bowl for containing porridge poured into them. Since the shechted animal was not formerly usable as food, it's likewise muksa. Abaye rejects the comparison. Daf Tezvav, so the Siman Daf Tezvav relates to Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl to make the Siman more distinct. So here goes. The many use a fruit bowl. Fruit bowl? That must mean we're on Daf Tezvav. Tu B'Shvat, fruit. Fruit bowl. The man who used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it, which reminds the Gemara brings a malchok when food cooked on Shabbos is forbidden to eat and to whom it's forbidden. So the man used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it. And a man who cooked in a fruit bowl for a chol on Shabbos and was told that the food is forbidden for healthy people, which reminds us, we discuss a healthy person eating food which was shechted or cooked for a chol on Shabbos. So the man who used a fruit bowl to cook fruit soup on Shabbos b'shogeg and was told that he would have to wait until after Shabbos to eat it, and a man who cooked in a fruit bowl for a chol on Shabbos and was told that the food is forbidden for healthy people, were startled when a man smashed a glass fruit bowl to use a shard for shechita, which reminds us the Gemara discusses shechting with other implements such as a hand sickle, sharp rock, reed, or glass. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do we win the katanim yesh lehen maisa ve'ein lehen machshava? That's on daf Yudbeis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you know that the source for Ruba de Eisa Kaman, a majority that is in front of us, is Akri Rabbi Mohatos? That's on daf Yud Aleph. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss what the din is in a case where a plate was put onto a wall so it should be rinsed by the rain and then the rain dripped onto produce? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss? Hey, could the Efshar, perhaps where it's possible to avoid relying on Rove, it's possible, and we do not rely on it. That's on daf Yudav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss the case where a katan turned over produce, which he brought up to the roof, making it susceptible to tumah? That's on daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss what the din is in a case of a tameh who was tovel and later discovered a chatzitza? That's on daf Yud. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss a healthy person eating food which was shechted or cooked for a chola on Shabbos? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you discuss shechting using the force of water with a water wheel, and we distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have a machos regarding when food cooked on Shabbos is forbidden to eat? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you discuss shechting with a knife fixed into a wall? That's on daf Tezayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.